In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. So at my old job, the one that I had just a few weeks ago, I had become very good friends with a young woman there. She's in her 20s or so. She was in my department. We love to talk about movies and politics and sports and things like that, you know, standard office banter between cubicles. So one day, though, we had gotten into a conversation about another woman in our department who had lost both her husband and mother within the span of a week. And we were just being very sad about that and kind of talking about that. And at one point, my young 20-something friend said, "You know, it's kind of hard. I realize that I lead a charmed life. I'm happily married. I have a great job. Both my parents are still alive. It's kind of hard knowing that all the bad stuff in my life hasn't happened yet." Life rarely goes as planned. My friend wisely recognized that. You start off in life with this picture of how you think things might go, and then life happens. The woman who Jesus met at the well did not, as a little girl, plan on having five husbands, one of whom isn't actually her husband. But then life happened. One doesn't get married with a plan of getting a divorce or becoming widowed. One doesn't go to school to get a degree and a great job with the hope of being downsized. One does not become pregnant with the plan of losing or terminating the pregnancy. Parents don't have children with the hope that those children will grow up and make painful choices. But we get married. We get jobs, we get pregnant, we have kids, and we have dreams, and then life happens. This is such a quiet and lovely scene between Jesus and this woman. Jesus is sitting alone, and the woman comes for water. He asks her for a drink, and there's a beautiful exchange about the living water that he offers to her. And then her life is laid bare in the confession between the woman and Jesus about her marital relations. This is really a remarkable conversation for many reasons. First off, we wonder why the woman was coming at midday and alone. Generally, women would go in groups together and in the morning, and that was kind of their community and social time together, but she was going alone. Perhaps because of her life circumstances, she was shunned by the other women, so she came at a time when she knew that she would be alone. But perhaps she was just getting water for the workers in the surrounding field. We really don't know. What we do know is that for Jesus to talk to her and treat her with respect was a remarkable thing. First off, because she was a Samaritan. Religious leaders in both the Jewish and Samaritan communities forbade contact with the other group. Samaritans believed that they were the descendants of the lost tribes of Israel, and they were the one true religion. Jews took issue with that. They hated each other. A good Jew would never condescend to speak to a Samaritan. And a good Jewish rabbi would never have an intellectual conversation with a woman. There were debates going on around this time among Jewish scholars about whether or not women even had souls. They certainly did not have intellectual thought. This was an incredibly radical thing for Jesus to do, which is why his disciples were so stunned. Now, they were smart enough at this point not to ask him about it, but the story makes it clear that for Jesus to talk openly with this woman went against everything that both his cultural and religious upbringing would have taught him. But, as the Apostle Paul said, in Christ there is no male or female. In this revolutionary act, Jesus is teaching his disciples that women are to be viewed as equal to men. And he not only spoke to her, he revealed himself to be the Messiah. To this point in the Gospel of John, he had not been that direct with anyone about who he was. He revealed his messiahship to a woman, Samaritan, with a questionable reputation. He gave her the gift of knowing who he was and what he offered, which was the living water. The living water that would wash away the shame, regret, the brokenness of her life that didn't go according to plan, and that water would restore her. And that is the water that is offered to us. Jesus is waiting to meet us at the well to talk with us. The living water that Jesus offers us is what will sustain us and get us through the day to day, as well as the nightmares that life offers us. We drink from the well of the living water when we allow the Holy Spirit to direct our lives, when we keep in communication with God through prayer, when we open ourselves to the power of the sacraments, and when we lay our lives bare through honest confession to God of our sins, and we allow Jesus the Messiah to wash those sins away. However, that wasn't the end of the story, was it? What did this woman do when she figured out who Jesus was? She had received the living water. She didn't keep it to herself. At what personal cost did she run into the town and tell people that she believed she had found the Messiah? That is crazy talk. Especially if she already had a questionable reputation. But that's what happens when you allow yourself to drown in the living water. She was given a new, clean, pure relationship with her Creator, a new start to life, new dreams. And she was so excited, she couldn't help but tell everyone. And as it says in the gospel, many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of this woman's testimony. She changed lives forever because she was brave enough to share the gift that she had received. This wonderful, nameless woman was the first evangelist. And in our short glimpse into her blessed life, we get a model for our lives, messy as they are. We are called to come to Christ and question and struggle. We lay ourselves open to the refining fire that is honest confession of our sins and examination of our lives. And then we eagerly and thankfully drink from the living water. And then we go out and share that gift. We drink deeply and then go find someone who is thirsty. Amen.